the creator becomes part of his creation.
Right.
And the technical term for that is that he became incarnate. He was finite, limited, vulnerable. The great God of the universe becomes one of us. What a marvelous thing to think about, that God, the Almighty God, the creator of the whole universe, becomes a human being, and just amazing. But who notices?
Right.
Well, his parents notice, a few shepherds, the kings or stargazers or wise men, whatever you want to call them. But in general, the world just was unaware and didn't seem to care. Just amazing, the great God of the universe, and yet so many people ignore it.
Did come here as flesh, we call it, stepped out of heaven onto earth, became vulnerable just like us. There's a lot of things to be vulnerable to here on earth.
Yeah.
And his life and ministry showed us how to deal with that.
What incredible love to do that, though. And it just occurs to me that he didn't have to do that. And how extraordinary that he chose to do that. But he didn't have to. He didn't have to submit to the cross and death. He didn't have to become human. But he did because of his love. Wow. Because of his love. He's our example there. Such a clear-cut example. Do we imitate him? Do we love like that? Do we cross the proverbial train tracks and go to other people that aren't like us? Do we give up our glory and become one with others that are not as fortunate? And we give up our glory the way he did, by humility, taking a chance when God shows us what he wants. So what does this mean for us? How do we give up our earthly glory for someone? Well, we go and minister to them. We talk with them. We connect with them, just as Jesus did. We see in the Bible about the parable of the Good Samaritan. We see the analogy of the sheep and the goats that Jesus talked about. And in each one of those, it calls us to put aside our desires and to reach out to others. Can that become a way of life? Is that what God calls us to do, to make that a way of life?
Well, what do you think, Don? How's that working for you?
Yeah.
I mean, this is where the rubber meets the road. This is where the rubber meets the road, because it's like, okay. And I was just reading in Matthew today where he says, you know, if you've done to the least of these, you've done unto me. And because he says, didn't we do this and didn't we do that? And he says, you know, he said he did not know them. And I think that's the worst thing that could be said to each one of us, is that he does not know us, or we don't know him. Because if we know him, we're going to do to the least of these. We're going to give water to those that are thirsty. We're going to clothe the people that need clothing. We're going to do those things. And if we don't, then what are we? I mean, really.
That's right.
I mean, you know, I was telling Liz this morning, I took a bike ride, and there's a skate park not far from where I live. And there's an overhang on one of the, you know, because they have the ramps up and that. And there was an overhang, and there was a guy with a sleeping bag sleeping underneath that overhang. And it just broke my heart. What I carry with me, although I didn't have it this morning, I carry gift cards to grocery stores to hand those out. You know, but the guy was sleeping. If he had been moving, I would have, you know, because I want to engage that, because I want to engage people, because that's what Jesus would do. He would want us to do that. Because it's real easy to spend our lives and we say, well, have you done this to the least of these? Have you gone to the prisons and shared? Have you taken care of the orphans? Have you taken care of the widows? And that's been something deep on my heart, as Kevin knows.
Mm-hmm.
That's really been deep in my heart, because it's like, am I a true disciple or not? Do I believe he is who he is, and that he died for me, and that he gives me the ability to be like him and to touch people around me, the untouchables? you know, and that the people, it's like where I live, I'm among a lot of untouchables that most people don't even see, or they're afraid.
Yeah, Don pointed out the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, but that, as Don even remarked, is such a deep statement that,
yeah,
you know, that God became like one of us,
yeah,
and He dwelt among us. You know, He didn't go around locking His car doors when He goes through different parts of the city. You know,
that's right.
That's not us. That's them. So, I mean, Jesus came for us.
Yes. Wow. That is heavy. Just like Don said, yes, He came, and He came as our example. He says, you can do this too. You can do this too. And I called you to do this. Wow. The sacrifice. Yeah.
And that is so we can be more like Him.
Mm-hmm. I like it in verse 11. It says at the end of verse 11, but they did not receive Him. You know, here He comes, and God in the flesh, and they did not receive Him. He came to the very people He created, to those who should have recognized Him, but they did not receive Him. And but, I always like it,
but,
the next verse, but,
there we go,
those who embraced Him, what does that mean, embraced Him and took hold of His name were given the authority to become who they really are, the sons of God. Wow. Is that a mouthful, Don? I mean, they're, you know, and took hold of His name, the name of Jesus.
Wasn't very many at first.
No.
Just, what, a dozen that really embraced Him? But that dozen was the beginning of a large number who embraced Him. I think when it talks about taking hold of His name, I think that's identifying with Him.
Mm-hmm.
He is our rabbi. He is the one that shows us how to live out the life. And so we walk in the dust of the rabbi. That's not an original phrase, but it's vivid. We take hold of His name. He is our identity.
Mm-hmm.
So many people are trying to search for who they are.
Mm-hmm.
This is who you are. You are God's child.
Yes.
Yep, you are.
Yeah, one of the names of is Jehovah Tiskanu, the Lord our righteousness. And the Bible even admonishes us that, you know, we are holy because He is holy. And to be able to come, like we said earlier, on this earth as flesh and dwell among us, there's sin on the earth. There's all kinds of deception. There's, you know, corruption. All these things to distract us or make a different God before us. Once we see Him, once we are able to recognize Him, that He is our Savior. The Messiah is here, and that's why later on in our discussion here that they sent you know, they sent Pharisees, they sent priests and Levites, you know, down to see this John the Baptizer that was baptizing, preparing the way, and they sent a crowd of Pharisees from all the synagogues and different sects and groups to find out who was this king that has arrived, or, you know, what they want to know more about it. And I'm really interested in why they were doing that, you know, because who's this person that's going to take our control away?
Yes.
You know,
he's
going to take our traditions away. I mean, we've done it this way.
And take the power away.
And take the power.
You said control, and that's
control.
The same, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, they came to interrogate John. Interrogate. It's in verse 19, but they asked him, who are you? I just love that. I love that question. Who are you? And that's a question that each of us have to answer. It's like, who are we? And as Don said, you know, identifying with Christ, we become identified with Him. And we become more like Him as we follow Him more and more. So we identify with Him. And so when people ask me, well, what denomination are you and what faith? And I said, I'm a Christian. I'm a disciple of Christ. That's who I am.
Mm. This potential for rejection, though, is difficult to face. I'm sure you're both familiar with the missionaries in Ecuador that were murdered, and they were the husbands of wives that were also missionaries. They were fathers to missionary kids that were there in Ecuador, but they so much had a burden to reach out to this this tribal group with the message of love and helping them and giving them presents that were very much needed in that area. A picture of Jesus and just following him. And what happened next? They were killed. They were slaughtered. And then the wives decided, we're going to take our kids and we're going to go live with these people. You talk about extraordinary commitment.
Wow.
They brought their kids and they lived with these people that had murdered their husbands. They knew they were risking their lives. They knew they were risking the lives of their kids, but they knew they were called, and they didn't lose that calling with the death of husbands and fathers. Probably seemed pretty crazy to a lot of people. It was a news story that actually was broadcast across the United States at the time. This was in the 1950s. And I'm sure people, when they heard they're going back, they're going to live with those people, they're crazy. But they changed. I say they changed. God changed that tribal group. They stopped the bloody massacres of their neighbors. That was their life, was killing people and being killed because of terrible feuds they had with different groups there. And they changed. They started a church, and the missionaries helped them to get the basics down. And I don't know if you've seen the movies about this, but the movies show that here is a boy who actually grew up there, and he is baptized by the man that killed his father. What an amazing change came over that person to move from a killer to a person who baptizes others. And I ask myself, am I willing to be martyred for God? Am I willing to be hurt and killed? Oh,
and that is the,
I hope so.
That is the basic message from John the Baptist, John the preacher. It, you know, my Bible says on the side, a voice in the wilderness. And Isaiah, even in Isaiah 40 verse 3, speaks of this John the Baptist or John the preacher. He says he's there to prepare the way, and preparations made in it. And what preparing the way is, back then the custom was to, if a king was to visit a province of his realm, they send people out and actually smooth the road out, so when the king comes, he has a nice ride, you know, cleans the road out, smooth and leveled. They are here, but to prepare the way, and their testimony is the purpose. Like you said, people are martyrs. The word testimony comes from the Greek martyr, or they put a RIA on the end of the word to make it hard for us to pronounce, but it means one who has seen. And this John has seen. When he was baptizing Jesus, the dove, the Spirit of God, just the hand of God come down from above and stayed on this man, Jesus. And that was his testimony. All I got to say is these people who were murdered and the family stayed to continue the work, they must have had that experience of seeing the hand of God work in their presence. Otherwise, I'd get up and run. It had to be so strong, so real. And that is what John the Baptist was saying to people, especially those when they sent the priests and Levites to interrogate him. His life literally was on the line, and I guess the end of the story didn't end very well.
Yeah.
He was there to be a witness, and nothing could separate him from the love of God or being his primary role as a witness. Missionary families were preparing the way, you know, with their own lives.
And they had their families back home were telling them, get out of there. Don't stay there. You're going to be next. And their response was, God called us here. We're not finished. We haven't done what God has told us to do. We've still got a lot of work to do.
They must have heard Jesus actually speak.
Yeah.
Not from some soundbite or repeated by others until we believe it. And even some of it is true. I mean, how much has you must be born again been beat over our heads in our religious upbringing? And even in the movies, they pervert it, they twist it, and different things. But what is the basis of that being born again? I've been standing on a street corner with a group of people like John the Baptist, just telling people about Jesus. Have you ever heard him speak? But when you hear him speak, you will believe. You will go to heaven when you die. If you hear him speak like these missionaries have, like John the Baptist had, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. There's nothing that's going to persuade you otherwise.
Amen.
Even the other do-gooders that stand there and saying, oh, what are you doing? Just another sermon like Billy Graham? Well, that was Billy Graham style. And yes, he said you must be born again, and I say you must be born again. But if you take all that training away that we've had, the religious upbringing, you have to do this, this, and this, and just as the priests and Levites came to him to see, well, I can sure hear them back in their committees wondering, what are we going to do with this Jesus?
Yes.
Find out more about that in upcoming episodes.
The Pharisees say,
what are we going to do? He speaks the truth, yet he subverts our power. He's not going out with these 10 things that we have to do. Pharisees had a lot of rules about not being able to work on the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You know,
they just cranked on Jesus so many times.
Right.
You know, about why are you healing on the Sabbath? Give me a break. I mean, just let that sink in. It's like, why? Why are you healing? Oh, well, we just need to let the people die and let them be there because
right.
It's the Sabbath. The rule goes against what the laws that they had created that no one could live up to.
And you couldn't work on the Sabbath. And their definitions then of work was, well, if you eat eggs on the Sabbath, it's a sin.
That's right. Or
you kill the chicken that laid them.
Oh.
Because the chicken did work on or Sunday. But those things get kind of hard to remember, all of those things. But it boils down to, I think, where John just brought the message. And I've boiled it down to, you know, have you ever heard him speak? Let me introduce you to God that can save you. If you hear him speak, you will believe.
Yeah, I go back to that example of how I became a Christian, where I didn't even know who he was, and I was seeking after him, and it was in a counseling session, which changed my life because he spoke to me, and that's why I'm relating to all of this. When you know that he speaks to you, that he speaks to us through his word, and in my case, he spoke to me personally, you know, telling me not to harden my heart. You're forever changed. It's like, I know he is real, and as I've spent time with him and read his word and spent time with him and then actually did what he's told me to do, he's 100% always. His promises are true, and he is who he says he is.
We are here but to prepare the way, to clear the garbage from the road by testifying to the truth we have seen, the truth that we have seen in Jesus. Nothing more, nothing less. What was that phrase that went around a lot? Jesus plus nothing equals salvation.
Ooh.
That's a good one to hold on to, but that was a catchphrase.
Mm.
I think the first part of it is incredible. Jesus plus nothing. Maybe that's a good motto for life.
There it is.
Jesus plus nothing.
Yeah, as it says in 1:15, John taught the truth about him when he announced to the people, "He's the one. Set your hearts on him. I told you he would come after me, even though he ranks far above me. For he existed before I was even born. And now out of his fullness, we are fulfilled." And I put an asterisk next to that on mine as I highlighted, "and out of his fullness," because he keeps speaking to me as he always says, or he says to me, he says, "Am I not enough, Sandy? Am I not enough?" And he fulfills all my needs. It's Jesus plus nothing, because he is enough for everything that we need, and nothing else can come in that will replace him in my heart. You know, that's what I have to guard all the time. I have to guard my heart and not let those other things, because it's Jesus, and he keeps speaking to me, "Focus on me, spend time
that's
with
right.
me,
and that,
spend time with me."
And that is our identity, Jesus
yes.
plus nothing.
Yes.
Anybody out there ever retire? And then in my mind, we never retire.
Right.
I mean, if you're John the Baptist, you're not going to retire.
No, not unless you lose your head.
If you've, yeah. And if you've ever heard him speak, you will not retire.
Amen.
God does
That's
not
so
have
true.
A retirement plan. He has heaven, but it's not something to look at as like, yeah, I'm just going to sit there and what, you know. But anybody that has retired, as we do in
the work world,
the Western culture, you know, we work hard, we retire, we deserve to do nothing. but when I retired from the working world, and that not that preaching is any different, I'm working for the Lord, and that is my identity. It became more clear that I'm in a crowd with a bunch of other men and women who have careers, and you suddenly realize that all these years, what have I been putting my identity in?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus plus nothing. And when you ask God, "Who are you? Who are you?" He said, "I am.
I am."
He didn't say, "I am, and I spent 30 years building networks. I spent 40 mm-hmm. years building air conditioning systems."
I love it.
He didn't have a list of degrees of things that he has accomplished in his life. However, he did show us by doing what he accomplished in his life mm-hmm. unto death. For what purpose? So whose identity, or what is our identity? It should be from day one, it's Jesus plus nothing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all these other things will be added unto us.
Amen. I knew that was coming.
It just came. I'm glad. If I missed it, please pull it out.
Yeah.
Jesus plus nothing.
That's wonderful, because the thing is, the freedom that we have when we know that we know that we know that he is the I am, that he is our identity. When we go, and if we're rejected, if we're on the streets, or if we're doing things, you know, they're rejecting him because he just wants us. It's so simple. I keep going back to this, just like John the Baptist says, "He's the one. He's the one. Point them to him." So he just tells us, just like John the Baptist said to the people, is like, he tells us, "Tell them about me. Tell them about me. Do what I've told you to do. I've prepared you for this time, and I will give you what you need to do and what you need to say when you're around people that I want to touch, because he is enough, and he wants us to reach out and love people. He wants us to do that. It's very clear, and we can't do it on our own. We can't do it on our own. Just like Jesus says, I can't do anything that I don't see the Father doing, and I can't say anything that the Father doesn't say. I can't, you know, and that should be that, you know, I've said this before, that should be our way to operate on a daily basis, because he's with us. He is with us every step of the way. He became flesh.
Right. And you said something good there. Jesus didn't do anything that he had not seen his Father do. Not a list of rules.
Yes. Ooh, just let that sink in. People that are listening to that, well, go on.
No, go on.
I mean, I just keep thinking about that because there's that freedom in that. Is like, okay, what did he say to do? Go take care of the orphan. Go take care of the least of these, my brothers. Go and do these things, and you will be blessed that the Father will look upon us. So we know what he wants us to do and what's pleasing, and it's just us. It's up to us to believe and be obedient to do that. And he says, you know, he says, you're my kid. You're my kid, Kevin. You're my kid, Don.
That's right.
You're my kid, Sandy, and I love you. It's simple, because once you know who you are, once you realize that like for each one of us, that our identity is in Christ, it frees us to do the things that he's called us to do. And he'll speak to us what we need at the moment when we're on a street corner, like Kevin's been on a street corner, like I've been on a street corner too, and the things that have happened, and being in danger. Kevin, you had stories about being in danger.
Danger, danger.
You know, that's with right. Knives and everything else.
That's right.
Know? But God is our protector, just like he protected your son, Matthew, coming back.
Just this Saturday.
Yeah.
We're recording this on a Monday. My family went to a funeral over our previous recording session. On the way back, God protected him. Kind of messed up his car hitting that deer. God was had his hand on that situation. He was able to drive the car home, and statistic-wise, it's the animal that kills more humans than any other animal on the earth.
That's probably true.
Because of accidents.
I recall one time when I believe God intervened and saved my life. I was in downtown Chicago, and it was late at night. Going home to the hotel where I was staying, I got off the train, and it was on a platform, and there was only one area to get down from the platform to the main street. Here at the stairway was blocked by a group of guys that just looked tough. I mean, they looked like they could do some damage. And I looked at them, they looked at me, and I thought, dear Lord, I need to go to that hotel. I need to go to bed. I've got things I have to do tomorrow early. Lord, what do I do? And the inner voice of God said, just keep walking. So I walked towards them. They eyed me, I eyed them, and I thought, Lord, if this is my time to die, I'm ready to go. I won't complain if you take me. And I got right next to them, and they just sort of parted ways and let me go through. And I was astounded, and yet God had told me what to do. So I just being in obedience to him, that's the important thing. But I feel like the Lord may have spared my life that night. Yeah. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for my billfold. They didn't ask for anything. They just stepped aside. Just amazing.
Yeah, the time of day and the darkness and the sight of what can be bad people. The Lord could have just put his hand over you and you were invisible walking right between them, and they didn't see you.
Yeah, there's no doubt in my mind, and the key that you said, Don, is you said, well, Lord, what do I do? I love it, because he's right there with us.
That's
and he
right.
says, oh, Don's asking me what to do. It's like, just keep walking.
That's right.
Because I've got you covered. I've got you protected. I love that testimony. Yeah. I love that story, Don. I keep reading. Just be reminded of what I've done in your life. And it's like, wow. You talk about just being inundated with his love and how he's protected me and what he's done in my life. I could go on and on and on and on and on how he's had his hand upon me. And I'm so thankful because now I have the opportunity 24 hours a day. Not that I didn't before, but I have the opportunity 24 hours a day to expose people to Jesus Christ and who he is and how much, why he came and how much he loves us. And that he wants to touch everyone that I come into contact with. And what a privilege to be identified with him, because I can't do anything apart from him, but in him and with him, as I hear his voice, as you did too, Don, is that, I mean, we could give lots of examples, but people that are listening realize that you're not alone, that he's with you. And as John the Baptist declared, this is the Christ, this is right. Him, this is who you've been looking for. Listen to him and follow him. And that's why, that's our message. That's our whole reason for this podcast, is to introduce people to Jesus Christ through the gospel, that he came in the flesh and that he died for us, and then he gave us the ability to share his love with everyone and to help people be set free.
And that's our tagline, has been and always will be.
Yes.
Your voice in the wilderness.
Yes. Oh.
And that, I think this section of scripture most defines, as you said, what we are here to do.
Yes. Yeah, that's just hitting me. I'm getting goosebumps. I'm hoping people listening to that will realize that.
Yep, we are here to prepare the way.
Yes, prepare the way.
Prepare the way to allow the King of the Universe to visit you.
Oh.
And
to reside in us.
And to reside in us, ultimately. Mm. If. Yeah, I like that, how it says when the kings were coming, that the people, the workers, the road department of transportation, whatever they had, would go out and clear the road. They'd level it, they'd make it smooth, because in those days, I don't know, horses, walking chariots, they didn't have rubber tires like we do. And those journeys were long and hard, long and hard. So we're here to clear the garbage from the road and point out what seems to be simple but so complex, looking at it from God's world point of view, that Jesus plus nothing, and right. Hear his voice.
Right, and that he is enough, and that we are enough in
I am,
him.
He says.
I am. Yeah, it as you were saying, Kevin, you said it just so beautifully. It's like, it's real simple. The message is simple. It's trust in him. Believe he is who he says he is, that he is the I am. And you can be set free to bring more people, to expose more people to this truth, that he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Preparing the way can take some very curious forms. When I was a missionary, we had students that had many different levels of ability and training, and there was one group I was especially drawn to. They were the Caribs, the people that the Caribbean was named after, and we had several Carib students at the school. But the Carib people lived in a tiny reserve, and they only had third grade education. So these are college age students. They're at the college, they're there to be trained for ministry, and how in the world do you teach personal evangelism? That was my task, to teach personal evangelism to people that have a third grade education, and it's supposed to be college level. And I thought, what am I going to do? And the Lord just reminded me, well, what do you have in your billfold? And I said, well, I always carry with me a copy of the Four Spiritual Laws. And it was so clear. Can a third grader understand the Four Spiritual Laws? Well, of course. Well, teach them the Four Spiritual Laws. Get a bunch of those tracts and make it simple. You don't have to go into all the theology, all of the background. There's plenty of scripture in that little booklet. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we did for the rest of the semester. We studied the Four Spiritual Laws. They took turns practicing, sharing the Four Spiritual Laws with each other, and then they went out to their community and did it. And it was just a blessing. It was a simple solution, like you said. It was a simple thing to do. And I'm thankful that the Lord directed me in that. It doesn't have to be complex.
No, not at all. His people who can heal you, His people that has heard His voice.
Right. And in His name.
That's right.
As we identify with Him.
Brother Don mentioned earlier about the four spiritual laws. That sounds a little bit scary when you put the word law in there. However, it's just, I would call it four revelations of God's love. Let's go through them now. Number one, God loves you and created you to know Him personally. And God's love is expressed in the Bible by the well-known verse, or maybe not so well-known, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. And God has a plan. Now this is eternal life, that they may know the only true God and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. John 17:3. What prevents us from knowing God personally? The second revelation is, man is sinful and separated from God, so we cannot know Him personally or experience His love. Yes, man is sinful. Man and woman are sinful. The Bible also says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Man was created to have fellowship with God, but because of his own stubborn self-will, he chooses to go his own independent way, and fellowship with God was broken. This self-will, characterized by an attitude of active rebellion or passive indifference, is an evidence of what the Bible calls sin. We are separated. Man is separated. Woman is separated from God. The Bible states that the wages of sin is death. Spiritual separation from God is death. Romans 6:23. Those of us who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1:8 and 9. So this leaves us with a dilemma. How can this sinful, unholy person, myself, reach a holy, perfect, and loving God? Number three, the third revelation, Jesus Christ is God's only provision for our sin. Through Him alone, we can know God personally and experience God's love. He died in our place. God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you, Romans 5:8. He rose from the dead. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to the scriptures and appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, He appeared to more than 500. Those are eyewitnesses, undisputable truth, undisputable proof that He rose from the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:3 through 6. He is the only way to God. Yes, Jesus is the only way. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. John 14:6. God has bridged the gulf that separates us from Him by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross in our place and pay the penalty for sin. Jesus bridged that gulf, that expanse, that opening that was there between us and God. It is not just enough to know these truths or revelations, but let's look at number four. We must individually receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Then we can know God personally and experience His love. Yes, I said Lord and Savior. Jesus is more than just a Savior. He is a Lord worthy of following, a Lord worthy of submitting our lives to. Then we can know God and personally experience His love. we must receive Christ. The Bible again says, as many as has received him, to them, those who received him, gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. John 1:12. We receive Christ through faith. By grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, that no one should boast. See, it's not something that we can boast about, that, yes, I have accomplished this, I have accomplished that, I have spent so many years doing this that I just deserve to go to heaven, I just deserve to be next to God, I just deserve to be in the front row or the sit at the table. All are invited to the table. When we receive Christ, we experience a new birth. John 3, 1-8 explains. We receive Christ by personal invitation. This is Christ speaking. He is speaking to you. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him. And that is the fourth revelation I give to you today, which comes from Revelations 3:20. Receiving Christ involves turning to God from self-repentance and trusting Christ to come into our lives to forgive us of our sins and to make us what he wants us to be, what we were designed to be. Just to agree intellectually that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he has died on the cross for our sins is not enough. For even the demons and the devil believe that he did that. Nor is it enough to have an emotional experience. We receive Christ by faith and as an act of our will. There are two lives that we can lead, the self-directed life or the Christ-directed life. The self-directed life, we are on the throne. Our interests are directed by self, resulting in discord and frustration. Christ is on the outer edge of that life. The Christ-directed life, when we receive Christ through faith and follow him, Christ is on the throne. Self is yielding to Christ, acknowledging that he is Lord. Then our interests are directed by Christ, resulting in harmony with God's plan. Isn't that an awesome plan? I think God has got it right. Get to know him. Read his book. Talk to our God today. Just knock and he will receive you. Well, I would like to thank everyone who is listening. And if you would like to contact our hosts or reply or ask a question or even request prayer, you can do that at any time at 218-461-0164. We would love to hear from you. My name is Pastor Kevin, and thank you, Brother Don and Pastor Sandy, for joining in. And a special thanks to our Spirit-led musician, the Minister of Music, Liz. Until we meet again, blessings to you and the church that meets at your house. Hear Gospel Network is an intergenerational, Christ-centered, not-for-profit internet mission church, a network of believers from many different backgrounds who are passionate about reaching out to others. Your Voice in the Wilderness, a church online since 98, now known as pgn.church, operates 100% on your tax-deductible donations.